Welcome to episode 188 of the Better With Running podcast. My name's Chris Armstrong, and this is possibly the best eating week of the year. Controversial because Christmas is also up there, but I'm addicted to hot cross buns. I'm not afraid to say that. Zach and Newman, fellow Run to PB coach, how are you going, mate? Ready to
I've
embrace all
gone
things Easter
well,
this
mate.
week?
Yep, fellow hot cross bun addict as well, mate. Maybe some kind of meeting where we got to do a top 12-step program to get off the hot cross buns.
Well, you see, and this is probably the sad part of Easter is that come, you know, there's Good Friday, Easter Saturday, Easter Sunday, and Easter Monday is usually followed by Disappointment Tuesday, because that's when the hot cross buns go off the shelves. So, I mean, there's half price chocolate there if you're into that sort
Are
of
you?
thing. But
You've been tracking these hot cross buns since they came out in December last year, didn't you?
yeah, Boxing Day they generally hit the shelves. And yeah, can actually pretty lucky in Shepparton, Northeast Bakehouse, which I'm at the north end of Shepparton, funnily enough, they have been awarded the best hot cross bun in Australia. So they are virtually printing money at the moment. It's nearly impossible to get in there and get one.
Yeah,
But
well,
yeah,
big statement, Chriso.
it's yeah, I'd actually love to get up there. Don't get to the north end of Shepparton too often because that's where the ass track is. But yeah,
I'm an ambassador for the bakery, mate.
I would love to. It would nearly spell an end to my running days. But they've also been, I think it's best vanilla slice in the country as well. So I know, I reckon
We've had
when,
some, yeah.
if you cast your mind back to Shepparton Running Festival, Ryan Cook and his
Yes.
wife, they came down from Sydney, and on their to-do list was to go to North End Bakehouse because that's how highly regarded it is. So
Huh?
I believe they went there and bought half a dozen
Bucket list
vanilla
bakery.
slices.
You
So
going you going toasted hot cross, or are you just going fresh
I
butter,
think
no butter?
fresh, if you're starving, fresh out of the packet if they've just been cooked is absolutely the way to go. But if you've got the time, I reckon you've got to treat yourself and you toast them with a bit of butter and real butter. I had this conversation with Anna during the long run on Saturday. None of this fake butter, none of this Nutellix shit. Throw it out. It's no, just if you're going to do hot cross buns with butter, full fat butter, slam it on, and nice and thick too, not a scraping.
No chocolate, hot cross buns for you.
No, look,
Traditionalist.
yeah, full fruit. I'd take double fruit if they could. But yeah, none of this fruitless bun stuff. I mean, choc chips, it's a nice novelty, but really, nah. Apple and cinnamon, if you're sort of desperate and there's no fruit around, that could do, but nah, it's full fruit, big raisins, big sultanas, just. I can't get enough of it. Nora doesn't let me buy them that often, but she did admit when she came home from her long run the other day and I'd already eaten four that the house did smell amazing. So that was full hot cross bun.
Maybe we'll ask a couple of our guests on their take on the hot cross bun. We've got two big names swinging by, mate, on this special episode. One that was in action over the weekend. You would have caught him on Channel 7 Plus, potentially, if you got a chance to watch the meet going around in the 3,000 meters. That was pretty cool. I'm going to speak to Jimmy Hansen after his big PB in the 3K.
I believe they're still replacing all the scorch marks in the track from that race too.
Yeah,
There
big
were some
stuff.
seriously quick times posted in the 3K.
Think anyone that got on that track in that race either got a PB or a season best. It was pretty cool.
Incredible.
And Kiwi Steve's back by popular demand. So
Very.
we've had the requests. The DMs have been absolutely helping a hammering for Big Steve to swing by again and manage to secure his services. We'll probably have to reintroduce him because it's been a little while. There'll be a few new listeners that wouldn't be familiar with Kiwi Steve's work on the podcast. I know his name gets mentioned a few times, so we'll be definitely be cool to catch up with him. Got a couple of listener questions and some cool topics to talk about.
Mate, most listener questions we've had since Elise was on. So, yeah, looking forward to catching up with Kiwi Steve, hearing what he's been up to, and as always, just taking a moment to appreciate the wisdom that the great man is about to share with us.
Well, we get there, mate. Bit of an update on our training fronts. Looks like you got the 73 on the board last week. Okay.
Yeah, 73 Ks. None of it impressive, I think.
That's a bit harsh, Chris.
No. You know, when you sort of do something at work and you think, well, that's not my best, it's not my worst. It's a good 6 or 7 out of 10. It's serviceable, but we're not really writing home about it. Full disclosure, I was a bit tired last week, and we're just coming to a pretty hectic period where I do my day job. So probably, I don't know, not necessarily feeling flat, but just, I don't know, well, maybe I was flat. But rather than sort of push my body through, I've probably just eased off a little bit, and I decided to jump in both of Anna's sessions and do them with her throughout the back half of the week. So Thursday, she did a 25-minute threshold, and we averaged low fours. I think it's like 402, 403 for that one. Maybe a touch closer to 10K effort for her, but it was a nice, cool, still morning. So got rolling, and that felt good. That was good fun. I think that's probably what I was looking for, was just something where I was doing a little bit of work, but it was fun. So
Yeah.
enjoyed that. And then went into Saturday, did I gave Anna, so she isn't preparing for a marathon at the moment. She doesn't really have any races in the calendar, but every now and then we like to put a bit of a marathon style long run in there, because she really enjoys that sort of stuff. Plus, I really like the multi-strength fielder. So popped in 4 by 4K at marathon effort, with a K recovery in there. And yeah, like, it was good fun. Like, we kicked off pretty early. It was dark. I saw an owl while we were doing some strides in the warm-up, just sitting there with its big beady eyes. So
Yeah.
medium size. I was worried that if it went after me, it was gonna peck me to pieces. So we're very respectful of the owl.
Did you
But
see, speaking of Strava titles and wildlife exchanges, did you see Gemma's post? Might have been today or yesterday. No, it must have been today. She was out running in the morning and had said a bat the size of
oh,
Ollie nearly
yes.
took her down.
That's it. Poor Gemma. She had a bad run. She's been crook. Obviously
Yeah.
in marathon recovery at the moment. Now she's getting attacked by bats. I know Bendigo will be eyeing her off as a rival
Yeah.
in the women's races
Yeah,
this year, but maybe it's taking a bit far. That's I'm sending out.
recruiting the next level, isn't it? Yeah, said
Yeah.
may need to find a new route, having a bat the size of my own child, I'll fight my head to since the run is not okay.
So it's
I
not
did
how
see
you,
that. It's 5:50 on a Monday morning. You really don't need that.
that is not how you want to start a Monday. That is a terrible start to the week, poor old Jim. I mean, in God's country of all places, there should not be Ollie-sized bats
No.
chasing around. So
Just looking at the heart rate there, you can see on the chart just a bit of a spike a couple of minutes in.
I can imagine Jim screaming as well.
Yeah.
Just letting go. But no, she's healthy, hasn't been bitten by said bat. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Shout out to Gemma.
shout out to Jim, hope you're going well, mate. But
Sorry, mate, that little diversion.
no, that's all right, that's what we do, it's what we do. So no, we end up running, I look, there's a 3K warm-up and some strides in there, but we end up doing 20K and averaged, I think it was four high 420s, around 428 by the time it was all said and done. So did that one, and that was pretty much, that was the highlight of the week. So yeah, that was on
Sometimes
the running front.
you need a bit of a week like that where it's just a bit of stock, somewhat maybe some boring K's in there, and you just feel like you're in a little bit of a holding pattern. But it can bring you up, and when you got other stuff going on, like you're flat out with work and you're just managing everything else, it's not a bad time to actually take the foot off a little bit and get through it.
It's
I mean
yeah,
the
probably.
longies. I mean the longies is solid.
Yeah, it was. I did end up having a nap Saturday afternoon. I think I spent a good hour. I was watching the Grand Prix.
Yes.
So just before qualifying, I did spend an hour resting my eyes on the couch and woke up just in time to watch qualifying. So I timed that very nicely.
Managed to find some time to scope out some new sock designs.
No, well, that's a recent purchase, that one. So might have so
Like
I
for the
took
combo on that one.
yeah, well, took a bit of inspiration. So past guest Rory Flanagan,
Yeah.
and a big fan of the saw kit, may have passed on a discount code from a survey that he'd done for one of their vests, and I may have taken advantage of said code and purchased myself a saw.
Oh, I think I know the vest you're talking about. One vest that obviously Rory's and our fashionista Paul Reason down in Tassie has donned before. So you've got two ticks of approval there.
No, well,
Oh.
the vest I got, no, I didn't actually go the rainbow option. Because it's a cracker of a vest, but I just don't think I could pull it off. It is a little bit my pasty white skin and lack of muscles just doesn't do it justice, whereas Rory absolutely, and Paul, look, let's face it, Paul looks cool in absolutely anything that he's
And
got,
he'll tell
but
you about it as well, yeah.
No, I will. So it's a bit of a it's a nice number. It's sort of a bit of a different shades of blue, white, green. I think you could say green. There's a bit of green in there, but it's very comfortable. Fits like a glove. Love it. Yes, definitely a little bit more expensive than your standard singlet. We'll admit that, but that's why I'm very grateful for a discount code. I'll see if I can not, and this is of no benefit to anyone that's listening to the podcast, but just to show Zaka, we do have a chat on here, don't we?
Yeah, you can show me, mate, after the show. Don't need you to get too technical here, mate. We might lose each other if we do
Yeah, no, so if it just suddenly drops out, that's just me crashing the whole podcast.
thought you might have got on the sore speed suit, mate. The marathon rainbow top and the one piece for the next marathon. It's only about $500 and it looks fast. Want to run a PB in it?
Yeah, look, it is fast and it is $500, and it's also probably the leading cause of divorce if I did purchase said speed suit, not only from a cost perspective, but I don't think Nora would allow me to go outside dressed like that.
Yeah.
But, it does have a lot of, it looks like a cyclist outfit, and I just can't run in that.
Yeah, and the gel, the yeah, you know,
There's a lot going on at the front,
there's
which
a
I'm
lot going
uncomfortable
on there.
about.
We probably talking about visuals, we probably shouldn't keep going down visuals. It's not a good medium for it, but people can definitely jump on the Saw website and have a look at this speed suit. I think Matty Morgan actually sent it through to me during the week. He was considering purchasing it, so watch this space. Might see a few Run to BB athletes pop up at the next Melbourne Marathon or something.
Yeah, and look, not saying that it's a bad look, it's just one I can't pull off. It's not in my best interest to even try. There's just some places I won't go, and that's one of them.
Yeah, nah, fair enough. Before our next guests arrive, I'll just let you know my week, mate. Nothing, as you say, nothing too impressive. Just
That's okay.
few case. What did I get out in the end? I don't know if I got you. Oh, what did you have? 73?
Yeah,
That's
73.
72.1.
Oh no.
Yeah. So if I had known, mate, I would have tacked on an
Maybe a
extra.
Sunday double.
Yeah. Could have just worn it around the supermarket or something. No, it was good. Like, just again, one session, so only like working on, yeah, like body was pretty good. Managed to, there was a few runs where I just pulled back slightly, but from the week before, obviously, what did I do that week before? I think there was a little bit more K's in this one, so definitely extended a few of those easier runs and got another session in on the Saturday. It actually came out pretty good. It was a bit of a almost like a broken threshold, really, because I only had a minute recovery between an eight minute or eight, eight and four. So 1 minute between each. And the goal was with that four and even part of the eight, like second half of that eight, was to just start to move it along a little bit. So, go out pretty steady and yeah, pick it up. I'm just still like not nursing, but just being a bit cautious with the body. So, and it was good, like good to see the fitness is still holding its own. Last form, yeah, that was a 330, close to a 330K in there, so to finish off. So I was able to kind of pick it up and run through. Actually had Kiwi Steve on the bike.
Hey.
Yeah, so we'll get into that because he's nursing a bit of an injury himself. And yeah, always good when someone's out there encouraging you. And he was, we're doing it around Princes Park. Shocking place to have someone on a bike because, like, he ended up just being on the outer of the, like, some parts. And I was like, look, I don't need you. I don't need to get on your wheel. I'm running. I've just got to run by feel here and I'll try to pick it up, but I won't be super consistent. And he ended up, yeah, because he's sort of on the outside of Prinny Park and it gets a bit bumpy. So half of it was like listening to him chat through it. So he was holding conversation. I was sort of chatting a little bit early and then got into my work. And then the second half was just listening to him kind of vibrating as he went over the various bumps and his handlebars were going each which way, but still fun to have someone out there because, yeah, Dave P couldn't make the session. So it was like nice to have that someone there to kind of keep you accountable. But
It's
yeah.
good. Yeah, credit to Steve, and I suppose I should save this for when he comes on. But that's when people are injured, the easy thing to do is just disappear and you don't see him until they're right to run again. So that's awesome that he's getting out there on the bike, and it's just nice to have that company.
Yeah, for sure. I think he'll go into that. It's like being, still, he just wanted to be out there. And so, yeah, it was nice. And then, yeah, into a Sunday run out at Yarra Flats. Just kept it to 70-ish, 75 minutes, I think, in the end. And a decent pace. And felt good. Yeah, no complaints. Finished the week pretty well, I think. Having that, I've been taking a Thursday off just because of the way I've been structuring the last few weeks. I've been getting sort of 5 or 6 days, getting that 6 days in a row, taking the break and then resetting, just getting through that. And hopefully, I'd like to say back in April, I can start to ramp things up again and yeah, get a little bit more mileage and back into two sessions. Think I'm on the other side of this, so we'll keep plugging away, as they say.
No, that's good. We just want to, you're doing the right thing, I reckon, just being a bit conservative and looking after the body. So hopefully
Yeah,
it's
but
not
look at
too
the
far away.
bars. Like it's pretty consistent, really, from November. Like when you look back from sort of May to September, where things really went off the rails, there was a lot of stop starting. Whereas this has at least been quite consistent around that, whether it's 60 to 80K range. And yes, I've had a couple of niggles in there, but I haven't really been in a position where I've had to take extended time off. But I think that's going to put me in good stead
Yeah,
into winter.
just being able to keep trying to stack those weeks and keep the body in one piece. Like not, I guess not all niggles we can run through, but it's good when you're able to manage them. And I would imagine that the strength work's helping a lot with that too.
Yeah, it is. And I think, yeah, just a bit more robust and I feel my form is better. So I think that's all good things. But mate, talking about strength and robust, our next guest that's gonna join us in a minute is a man that when you're watching the Channel 7 coverage, geez, he looked $1 million out there.
It always does, but yeah, he's an absolute machine. Sort of fresh off a 7:49 for 3K. So looking forward to hearing about that. Oh, yeah, now.
Yeah, let's bring him in. Joining us, as promised, We have got the man who was fresh off a big PB at ES Marks at the Sydney Track Classic over the weekend, running a 7:49 for 3K, 2:37 Ks, if you don't mind, in that race. So it was a blistering pace, and it's going to be pretty cool to unpack it all. Welcome to the show, Run to BB coach as well, James Hansen.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Zachary and Chris. Good to be back on. It's been a little while.
Mate, I
It
reckon
has.
last time we caught up, you gave us I guess the rundown on all things Belgium, the trip over there, and obviously all the races that you had, and the sampling of must surely the waffles were a winner over there too.
Yeah, love a good waffle. Love any kind of dessert, Chris. So.
But mate, things have kicked on. Had a good summer, and just popped up to Sydney for the weekend. Bit of a casual trot around the track. Mate, didn't muck around. No time to be wasted. 7:49 for 3K. You'd have to be stoked with that.
Yeah, it was actually, well, I hadn't spoken to you boys yet, but it was a whirlwind of a weekend because I didn't think I was going to get up there because during the week I started getting some quite bad back spasms. So I went and got a little bit of treatment, but my back was, I was doing a couple of sessions, my back could just get really tight. So basically I booked my flight. It was getting worse like a couple of days before, just off jogging, and I went over there basically in faith that I possibly be able to run. And yeah, I took the day off 2 days, or took 2 days off before, and then rocked up on the start line not knowing if how much pain I'd been jogging, and yeah, actually got through. So that was bigger than the PB. It was actually getting to race was huge. So and my body getting through all right. So it was a bit of a, I've never been in a race like that where you just stand on the start line, you're not even confident that you can get, 200 meters in a race. But yeah, it seemed to come right during the race. So that was good.
Mate, this is testing my memory a little bit, and I haven't necessarily fact checked this all as well, but didn't you run a big PB off the back of COVID? Might have was it the last year or the year before where you virtually didn't run for about 10 days, came out, raced, ran awesome. Like, do you reckon there's something in this now where you just need to have 4 days of doing nothing before a race, whatever it is,
Yeah.
and then you just come out and absolutely smash
Well, I don't know. I don't like it. So it's definitely,
it?
I don't think I enjoyed it. Like you know what, you boys know what it's like when
Oh, it's all
I
the
guess you,
stress. Yuck. Get in the bin.
yeah. And you just got to sit in a hotel all day and
Yeah.
just, you're like, am I here just for a bit of a fun trip? Like I was in the room with Clark and I was like, am I here just as the bloke just hanging out for the weekend, or I've actually
Carrier.
got to be mentally switched on here because I didn't know if I'd be racing or not. So until I got to the warm-up track, so I just kind of went through the motions, got through warm-up, got through some strides, and then I was like, all right, don't push the strides too hard because you don't want to do anything in that. And then yeah, it was fine in the race. So
Yeah, I mean, that uses a lot of mental energy. If you're playing it through your head, it's like, I'm guessing you're walking around the room and even just thinking to yourself, oh yeah, actually I do feel all right. And then you start to worry, and like you just every little bit of you are trying to think, can I get through this? And
yeah.
oh, stressful times. And you'd come off
Yeah.
Murray, like 5K, you ran 13:42 on the up. What was that, mid-Feb? Good
Yeah.
block off that.
Yeah, really good. Like I went to Moree Plant. Well, I missed so I don't know when I spoke to you boys, but I got injured after I did the 10K in Sydney. I think I'd spoke to you boys before that, and I got injured off that, and I had an issue with my hip, and it just wasn't getting any better. So I missed October and November completely. I couldn't run at all with it, and I didn't know if I had OP or something. Like it felt quite serious for it. I got a scan. There was nothing really showing on the scan, but whenever I'd go for a run, my leg had just basically wouldn't let me run and couldn't really do anything. So it was like bad timing to go down. So I went into Moree Plant with really low expectations of myself. So that was a really awesome race to go. Oh wow. Like from where I was in December, basically starting again to being able to run that was I didn't think I'd be racing that early. So to run 13:40, I was like, I think if I get a good block, I can do something really good in the next 3 months. So.
Hey, before we dig into the race, bit of a recap. Chriso's
Yeah.
got something's come across Chriso's desk. He doesn't miss much. He's found something
It
in mid-March.
doesn't.
Yeah.
Mate, the internet's a wonderful thing. And was doing a little bit of reading earlier, and I noticed, mate, there was a little result that I hadn't seen pop up on your calendar before for, I guess, your overall PBs. There was a 3,000 meter steeple on the 15th of March. Now, unless there's another James Hansen that may have been running the domain around then, but 9:30 for the steeple, 3,000 meters. Is that potentially going over the steeples? Is that what may have jarred your back up, or what happened, mate? Are you maybe looking at a new event, or
Yeah,
yeah,
you
tell us
caught me.
about
I'm being
that
caught out. Being caught out.
one.
Yeah, let's just. I did it, and I think it's buried. Let's just say that much.
I've got a couple of questions about the steeple. Was it 9:30? Was
Yeah.
that sort of you got 2Ks in and went, nah, blow this, like, and just sort of phoned it in?
Nah,
Because
I didn't give up.
I reckon you're better than a 9:30 over the steeple, I would have thought, given you've just gone 7:49 over the flat. Or is it fair to say you just hated the whole experience?
Oh, it's just fair to say I don't know. I definitely didn't give up. I tried my hardest. I was like, that was a bloody hard race. And then I watched some footage back and I was like, oh, I can see why that's so hard. Like seeing me steeple, it's like I don't know, like Fred Flintstone steps about 50 meters into the steeple is the only way. And then 50 meters out of it, and then I run normal for the rest of it. So yeah, I don't.
Do you have a newfound respect for those that do the steeple?
Yeah, it was good. I did like 4 weeks where I'd do like some hurdling each week. And I guess I surprised myself even being able to get over the hurdles. And then yeah, I guess I went in thinking it can't be that hard. And I was definitely proved wrong with it. So yeah, I think I thought maybe it was like an outside chance for Paris. 3K is more my distance. Like if I could hurdle, learn how to hurdle, and like my hurdling's not too bad, but I guess it's just putting it all together and then racing. And then I'd never even done a hurdle under fatigue, so that was like a different beast
Yeah.
to do. And like the week, I think it was only the Monday before, I was doing my first water jumps, and they were disgusting. So yeah. But anyway.
How much is it gonna cost us to like not put this footage up somewhere?
Yeah, no one. Anyone there on the night, they can have that in their memory bank. I'm sure they want to block it out, so
Good stuff.
yeah.
Mate, take us to Sydney. It was a huge, huge meet and big names rolling around, deep field. We saw the results were just nuts. Like pretty much anything we were saying before, anyone who got on that track in that race seemed to have either PB'd or season best. Like it just was fast
Yeah.
and eventful in the end. There was a bit of a pile up. But early on, how did you feel? Like obviously, yeah, like warm up track. Or warming up, knowing what you were, how you were going into it, and then jumping on the line. What was, had you got your head in the game once you'd finished to warm up some strides?
I think it was probably a different head in the game. Like I was like standing on the start line, and I guess that's where you just draw confidence from your training. You go, well, whatever's happened, I know I'm fit enough. It's just whether my body can carry me. So I just really drawn out on the start line and knew if my body's okay, I think I can run really well today. So when I stood there, I'm like, all right, we're doing this now. Let's go. Like it's no. I guess it's hard when you have in the back of your mind like you can back out. Like I'd never want to have that mindset, but my mindset was, look, if your body's not up to it, back out. But yeah, once I was there, I was like, let's just see what happens.
So you had a small
For it.
like get out clause, or like you might even pull out after a K if you're not if it's
Yeah,
gone.
I honestly went in thinking I've never had that in a race, but I was like, I don't want to do more damage to my back right now. Like 3Ks, good race, but I could possibly, if it's something serious, I could end my season. So Whether that was a good thing or not to have, like the way I felt in the race, I probably could have had a bit more confidence, but it was just because it was such a, it came on last minute. I probably didn't get enough time to really test it either. So yeah, but yeah, the race got started. I think I kind of probably went out a bit more conservative. Obviously, I was just like, had a plan just to stick around the middle of the pack, and I knew the pacer was on for about 63, 64s. You could just kind of sit in there. But yeah, it was a stacked field of guys, like everywhere you look, and you didn't really know who could do what really when you looked at it. So positioning was so difficult, especially in the early stages, just trying to find a spot. I learnt, like,
Because it was a
Maori
lot of
Planner.
people, a lot of field. Like, was there 20 odd, 24 in the field or something?
Yeah,
Maybe huge. Yeah.
huge field, and yeah, so many good guys there. And I guess from my experience with some of these races, if you go too far back, if a move's made, the race can be game over there. It's really hard when you've got these such good athletes and they get away to get back onto something like that. So I knew I had to put myself in a position where I could at least see every move and give myself a chance to be there.
Yeah, I even noticed like Bucks, like it was a bit of chopping and changing early in the race, like or maybe mid where it actually really came to a head with the stack. But like Bucks was at the back, and then he surged up to the towards the front. Then he got pushed backwards, and you could just see there was, I mean, there was so much depth in that race that as a fan, I was like, I don't know who's gonna. I mean, Cam Myers seemed to be just like controlled, you know, like an old head really, in the way he just like didn't get fazed. But everyone else, like you had Ramsden in there, and you're like, what's he gonna do? And yeah, it was just, it was stacked. And then yeah, what about this stack that happened? What was it, 3 laps to go or something, maybe, or
No,
two?
lap to go.
Was that a lap to
Last
go?
lap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so I was pretty fortunate. I was just in front of it. So I think Jude actually grabbed my, I watched in the footage, I felt it. I felt it like behind me, and I felt like, oh, geez, that was close. And I think Jude, when he came down and grabbed my hand, that's how close I was to getting caught up in it. But yeah, Tamsin like screamed if you hear the footage. It sounded, she added to it, sounded pretty full on. Like I thought someone had died or something. I thought like Jude
It
Thomas
was
had
a bit
taken a
over
spike to
the
taken a spike to the
top. The
heart
chest,
and stuff.
yeah.
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 But yeah, it was, you don't see many of those very often, do you? Like that. But I
No.
guess that's what the race was like. Everyone was, I reckon that pack could have gone nearly 10 seconds quicker, and there still would have been guys there. The level was so good, and we slowed down so much. There were 65-second laps that we still ran, sub 750, but it could have been, I reckon it could have been 10 seconds quicker, and there would have been guys there because everyone just felt so good at the bell.
Yeah. It was just this train of athletes that were on it and just going.
Yeah. Clarkie was remarkable. He like did double front flip and then got up and still ran 754. Like that was an impressive run. So he was telling me like he was feeling a lap to go just unbelievable. So Sam Clifford did one of the greatest sidesteps you'll ever see. Like the Parramatta Eels have been looking at him since that. So
Yeah, that was
yeah.
real. Mate, is
But
it an impressive run? Like, what's the next part of the season look like for you? Like, is the back pulled up all right?
so it's okay. I'm hopeful. I just went and saw a chiropractor. Like I just got back from a chiropractor, and he was needling me. And one of the needles like sent this huge electric shock down my leg. But that's like I've never had it like that before. Like my whole leg. He said it's bent the needle. He's never had someone bend the needle, but bent the needle. That's how big the spasm was. So I'm hoping that's just what was causing it. So, because I've had stress fracture stuff in that area. So whenever I get that pain, I'm always like, oh, I hope it's not a bone stress because it's such a, if you got that, you're stuffed. But usually when I get bone stress, if I run through it like I have done, it's a few days and I can't run. So I have been able to run through it. And the fact I'll see how I pull up next couple of days, but the next few weeks of training are really important for me as well. So I'm really hoping I can get it right and then 2 good weeks and then freshen up for nationals.
All eyes on nationals. You'll do the 15 there.
5K.
Five.
Yeah. It's tossing up whether to do the 15. But yeah.
It's more just the nature of the spots available, what you're chasing. What other is Oceania? Is that something you'll look at as well?
Yeah, I reckon I'll look at Oceania's as well. So there'll probably be, you've got to have 3 for national. So if you can get Oceania's in there, that'd be one high point scoring rate that you could get. And then you've got, but I think there'll be a lot of guys in the same boat going after that as well. But then you mightn't get the real top guys do it. Like, I don't really know, but you might find those 3rd to 6th guys, which might suit me, get a position on that. And that could just bring you right up if you did well there. And like 5K is probably a good opportunity, hopefully, to run fast. And then there's going to be some good, I know Morgan McDonald's going to be there. Jack Rayner is going to be there, I'm pretty sure. So it should be pretty stacked. So hopefully it's quick and we can run a good time, and that'll be good point scoring as well. And then it's just looking at one more race that you can put on the board.
Here or overseas, would you look to go get overseas?
I think I'd have to, if I was really having a crack, I think I'd have to go overseas for it. So yeah, and I probably just need that little bit more training missing October, November as well, just to get myself in that really good spot. So
So this April, May is just, yeah, your life is your consummate professional as it is, but like it just goes to another degree, an Olympic year, throwing the kitchen sink at trying to get a berth. Is there anything extra you're trying to get out of the body? Like, is there anything else you can do, or is it just more of the same?
yeah, no, because when I had this hip injury, I couldn't do real intensity. So, like, I think I spoke about it last time. I started doing, like, I was exploring with double threshold, I guess. But then I kind of, over this patch, went a bit more in on it, well, a lot more in on it, and just finding ways in my body to handle it better. I think my body's responding a lot better. I think I've got a better way that I do it now. And yeah, it's full on though, because there's days where morning session, you're doing 16K in, warm up, might be 5 by 6 minutes or something, 6 by 5 minutes or 5 by 5 minutes, something like that in the morning, warm down, like, that's hour 45 there, and then working 11 to 7, then PM going to the gym, and doing, maybe 10 by a K on the treadmill in the PM. So I've been doing, like, it's been very different, but I think the way I ran Canberra and Moree Plant off not much intensity, there's definitely, I'm finding there's something in it, and it's coming a lot faster than it ever has. So I'm excited to kind of, if body holding up and everything going well, like, I feel like I've got that thing that I can really do something different over this period of time, really lock in and see what comes out of that. Because yeah, it really feels like there is a big progression there. I've done some of my biggest mileage weeks over the last 4 weeks I've ever done. So I'm just finding that way that I've got that next step, which is, it's exciting to have that, to kind of go, I'm really in at the moment with it.
Yeah, it's exciting because, yeah, you're going in the dark mode. You're going in the dark mode on Strava, and there's this
Yeah.
X factor about you. And I've seen a bit of sneaky footage, maybe you with Dougie Hammerlock, maybe on the treadmills, punching out some of these doubles. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting to see these next few months of how it all unfolds.
Yeah, and I think I like keeping it a bit quiet, like just doing a patch where it's like nobody really knows what you're doing, and you just focus on that and see what happens from it. But yeah, I'm not really leaving any stone unturned in terms of what my body can handle, and I just want to test that. And if it means I go to another level and I'm make a team, that's great. If I don't, I think I'll have no regrets with it anyway, because I'm kind of like, I'm on the fence whether this is like my last year as well. So actually competitive running. So I'm kind of like at that point where I just want to go in and just see what happens. So
No. Any last questions, Chris, over before we let him get some rest?
no, I think I'm probably more sitting here as a fan as opposed to I guess one of your work colleagues. But mate, I can't wait to see how it all goes. Particularly, I'm really intrigued, I guess, by the double threshold stuff. It's something I wish I was young enough to go and try and see how the body would hold up. But it's really exciting to hear some of the progress that you've made. And I hope you do get a genuine crack at it just to run 7:49 for 3K off what you've been doing. And look, the last month sounds like it's been absolutely incredible. But it'd be great to see you be able to put sort of 3 or 4 months together, and who knows what the results might be if we start smashing out more and more PBs. I know is this the last year that you run competitively? But who knows, mate? Maybe you are just scratching the surface again.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chris. So yeah, it's cool. I think the mindset's just like goal in this year and see what happens, because it's a tough sport at times. So I'm like, I've got a few sponsors and that, but it's like it takes away a lot from the way I'm doing it at the moment. It takes away a lot from your life. So I'm like, I don't know if I can do it, and I think it'd be hard to keep doing it if you're not doing it the way you did. That's what I find really difficult
No,
with
well,
that, but we'll see what
no,
happens. We'll
you're an
see what happens.
inspiration. You're an inspiration to a lot of people, mate. And you are just like the way you go about it. It is a credit to you. And we're proud as Run to BB, the Run to BB family, when we see you on the big screen and we see you pumping out these sessions and getting out on the track. So we'll be 110% behind you before in the next few weeks and next few months before we'll definitely have to have another catch up. Well, hopefully not as long as we left the last one, but thanks for sharing some time, mate, and rest up. Hope the back feels a bit better.
Yeah, no, cheers, boys. Always good to catch up.
Take it easy, mate.
Awesome. I'll speak to you soon.
Joining us back this week on the Better With Running podcast is Dr. Steve Langdon. I reckon it's his third time, Chriso. He's
Oh, at
been on the show.
least.
I know he's got
Possibly.
100-odd mentions
With all the
three
mentions,
weeks
it feels
deep.
like at least a fourth.
Yeah. But in this capacity, yeah, he's bringing in his background in sports psychology to chat about a few areas. We've actually had a few listener questions come in today. We're going to tackle those. But yeah, welcome back to the show, Steve.
Thank you very much for having me, Zachary and Chris. So it's good to be here. And it definitely feels like it hasn't been as long as it has since I last spoke with you.
Yeah, we are going to talk about your running and potentially navigating through an injury. I think I slipped let it slip earlier in the show, Chriso, when I mentioned Steve was out on the bike following me as I did my session. So yeah, there is a reason behind that. But just for some of the listeners that have joined us that maybe didn't catch you in the previous episodes, maybe just give us a brief little bio or intro onto your professional side. I know you've done about 150 degrees, but maybe just keep it to 20 minutes or something.
Yeah, I'll only go through the top three. It's okay. So as Zach said, I've got a PhD in organizational psychology with a focus on sort of performance and improving people's performance. And I did a master's in sports psychology, looking at sort of topically injury rehabilitation. So injured athletes' adherence and engagement with their kind of injury process. And I work in a management consultancy that's focused on improving performance at work through people, and have sort of dabbled on the side with helping athletes with the kind of mental side of performance, and mainly a track and field kind of setting.
And your own running, mate. We know you're I run with you most nights at the 10, and usually you're pretty quick to get your PBs out. but maybe just broadly your running.
Yeah, so I've been running for a while now. So I've got PVs from the 400 through to the half marathon. I spent way too long pinning my hopes on being an 800 meter runner. So I got down to 153.3, and then spent another 5 years trying to improve that PB and not doing that. But I just decided to start moving up. So I've ran 353 for the 1500, 826 for 3K, 1438 for 5K, 3102 for 10K, and like 6838 for the half.
When's the marathon debut?
I hope never, but as someone that thought they're an 800 meter runner for way too long, that the idea of running a marathon terrifies me.
Mate, inspired by Ryan Gregson taking on the marathon.
I mean, it's really impressive what he's done. I wouldn't say it particularly inspires me because I don't want to do it, and seeing him do one hasn't made me want to do one. I think it's the early morning stuff that just really puts me off a marathon.
Yeah, on the same page there,
So
mate.
you're a man who has been known to run during a day whilst they've allegedly been at work.
Yeah.
Mate,
That gets harder to pull off if you're trying to get a marathon session in.
we're gonna get into a bit of chat about, like we alluded to, injuries and dealing with that. And you're going through one at the moment yourself. What's been happening? We saw you on the track through summer, punching out a few miles meets in the Melbourne Uni kit, but where are we at now?
Yeah, so I raced throughout the summer. Annoyingly, my form wasn't as good as I thought it was. And then maybe a month ago, I was doing a sort of tune-up session for a 1500 meters at Milers, and I tweaked a tendon just above my left ankle. And it's just been grumpy since then. And I thought it wasn't going to be too bad, so I just sort of jogged my for a week leading into a race and did the 1500 and thought I'd be able to take some painkillers and race okay. And I ran all right, but I wasn't like it didn't feel good. And then sort of after the race and the next day, the tendon that I'd hurt was very grumpy. So I decided that I checked in with my coach and physio and decided it was probably time to call it and give it a chance to recover rather than just trying to keep on jogging and racing, because the next race sort of ahead at that time was a 5K. I was like, my form was a little bit like the way I was moving had changed because of the injury. And I was like, well, I can't really see myself like batting through that for 5K on the track. That wouldn't be much fun. Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. Just starting to jog again as of today, which was quite exciting.
How many days off did you have?
I think about nine all up. And I didn't really cross train, which was probably not the best approach. I did my rehab exercises and I rode my bike, but only to get to the pub. So
How did Naomi go in those 9 days, your partner? Because we all know what a grumpy runner, an injured runner's like. She good. She happy to see you get out the door tonight and get a run in.
I oh, most definitely. I did find I had more time, but I don't think that really contributed to helping with anything at home. Just meant I was around more, not doing a lot. Or so yeah, she'll be very glad, I think, for things to go back to normal.
So, mate,
Mate, you go, Chris.
I was gonna say those pain levels after the 9 days, how's it settled? Like, we still a little bit away from like a full training load and getting back to racing, or how patient are you going to have to be over the next little while? Because I'm tipping that, like most people as a runner, we're great at passing on advice to other people, but how well are we going at adhering to the own words of wisdom that you often dispense?
That's a really good point. I'm doing my rehab exercises as much as I possibly can, so that's going well. But in terms of your returning to running and race plans and things, I don't have any plans locked in about racing yet. So I'm in a position where I can take some time to sort of let it settle properly before I try to get back to full training. The only slight hiccup in my return to running plan is right about the time I hurt myself. I'd committed to going to Mount Buller for MUAC's kind of annual Easter training camp. So I'm going to Mount Buller this weekend, but my plan is to rent a mountain bike and ride that rather than run, and just stick with the jogging every second day until the sort of the day after the jog, that my tendon isn't so grumpy anymore. But is that, or today's first day jogging, but after I sort of got home and sat and had dinner and things, I could like definitely tell that it had done some work and it wasn't the happiest, but not how it was when I stopped running. Just like there's a level of awareness there. So I've got to sort of wait for that to settle. So I think like the short answer is so far I'm practicing what I preach, but touch base in a week and we'll see.
At the Melbourne Uni funds obviously in good supply, being able to do a funded altitude camp in the lead up to XCR.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, thankfully, our primary sponsor, Zach and Newman, is coming to the
I
party.
did not know about this, but anyway.
Yeah,
Should we rip into some of the listener questions that came through? And there is a bit of a flavor to this around around injury and the mental side of dealing with that. Chris O, the first one is a fellow bat brother.
it is. So from Rory Flanagan, he's a past guest and also a big fan of yours, Steve, has gone on record requesting you to come back on the show. So he'll be absolutely pumped. And he does listen to every episode. So you best believe he's hanging on every word that you're about to say. But Rory, who has Ballarat Marathon coming up very shortly, would like to know your thoughts on how to maintain motivation when returning from injury.
Yeah. That's a good question, because motivation is something that always takes a hit when you get injured, right? The moment you feel yourself kind of not progressing, it's easy to get sort of fall out of love with running kind of a little bit. I think on that, it would kind of depend if he's thinking about like the motivation to run or like the motivation to stay on top of the like injury management, so like the rehab and that sort of things, and like the sort of progression, the prog sorry, the progression on that side, because it's sort of like two different kind of sides to a related coin. I guess I don't know. Do you have any insights on sort of the motivation that he's sort of thinking about? Is it more the running side?
Yeah, I think, and also, yeah, when things are going really well, the mindset can be around adding layers to get closer to that PB or that goal race. But when that injury comes along, it sort of wipes that all away. And those early stages when you get back and you get out there, it feels really hard. Just wanting to, I guess, fast track everything to get back to how you were feeling, but it does feel long, like such a long distance away.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a sort of similar theme across lots of discussions around the sort of mental side of dealing with injuries, but it's really good to break things down into manageable chunks. And most runners are pretty goal orientated. Like we're always chasing that PB or that race performance. So if you can find a way to develop just small goals in your return to running, and you can use them as a way to motivate yourself. It doesn't necessarily have to mean like this week I'm going to increase my mileage by, I don't know, whichever percentage or however many kilometers extra. It can be sort of more discreet and focused. So just around like a goal within a particular run, something around, if you string together so much like rehab time, this run time, something like that. So just like smaller bite-size goals, and you think about each goal rather than the end result, which is usually kind of getting back to where you think your fitness used to be, or thinking about that race. You want sort of smaller, more immediate goals that you can sort of hit on every few days or every day, and that can sort of help you develop that sense of control and momentum so that you're making forward progress, and so it gets you back into that almost self-fulfilling kind of prophecy or cycle where you go for your run, and that kind of reinforces that you're doing all the right things. So you seek to develop that kind of feedback loop, just in a slightly different, apply it in a slightly different way, if that
What
makes
about
sense to either of you two. I know.
Steve, what about managing expectations when you're coming back? Because often you get an injury and then you're kind of on the comeback, and then there's some days are good, some days are rough. And you're almost like when you get the green light to run again, you're like, oh, great, you know, I've done all the rehab, I'll do my run, it'll be pain-free. And then one run will be the next day, you're like, oh, I'm back to square one, it's sore again. Do I need to stop? Like, how do you go about managing those sort of conversations you have in your head?
Yeah. I think the first thing is to be really honest with yourself at the outset of your return to running from when you're coming back from injury. Because most people would have had some experience running, so you know it's not a like linear process. You're not going to just every day just keep on improving. So you don't want to think about your return from injury in that way. So if you sort of frame it like that from the outset, and then you can develop, again, sort of develop goals that take into account that there's going to be ebbs and flows and sort of highs and lows and your return to running journey, that can help because that's you managing at least your own sort of expectations. You're not, because you're going into it sort of eyes wide open, not expecting everything to go perfectly. If there are slight setbacks, you need to sort of slow progress down or something. You're kind of set up to cope with that because it's a possibility that you've already sort of considered and planned for, rather than being focused on like the ideal return to running. And then when you kind of deviate from that path, it can be like an absolute deal breaker. But if you sort of planned for it, thought about it, and worked out like how you'd respond in advance, you can sort of roll with the punches a little bit better, which it's one of those things that's really easy to say, and like, but that like remembering to think like that when you're in the moment can be tough, and you can sort of draw on some of the things that we've spoken about so previously when I've been talking to you guys on previous episodes around, you know, like sort of cue words or cue behaviors to trigger particular thought patterns. So if you find something going wrong mid-run, or you're sort of focusing on the negative rather than the positive, doing something to like break that thought process and kind of set you up to start thinking about it in a different light, sort of reframe it. So whether that's like tying your shoelace, or like in the summer, like taking your top off, something like that, like something that's quite a clear behavior and that can help reset your thought processes. And having people to talk through the process with, so your coaches, partners, physios, so people that have experience in going through what you're going through. So then you have a support network in place. You're not having to deal with it entirely by yourself, even though running is an individual sport. Like having that support system in place is really useful. And training partners, obviously, you're probably going to be out there running. Well, if you're like me, you'll most likely be out there running with people rather than running by yourself. So you can sort of talk with them and have them aware of sort of what you're going through.
Nice. I think you've touched on a couple of those points inadvertently with this next question. That actually comes from Maxi Ueda. So obviously a Melbourne Uni athletics club legend who Maxi has sent in a question. He says, what are your top tips for those going through a low period while being injured?
People can't see it because it's a podcast, but I'm smiling, not because of the question, but because it's something that Max and I have spoken about previously. I can't help but thinking he's directing that slightly at me because I was pretty angry when I worked out I couldn't race anymore. The main thing is I was sort of bang on about setting goals, setting some goals on something that, well, part of it would be your rehab, like setting up a rehab plan, having it measurable, having like sort of progress so you can sort of tick it off so you get that sense of fulfillment or achievement that we get from going for our runs every day. And what I found sort of useful myself and some of the people I've trained with over time have sort of taken similar approaches is to when you're returning from injury, when you're possibly not putting as much time into your running as you normally would, use that as an opportunity to pursue other passions as well. So you can sort of redirect some of that mental energy and focus into something else that you may not always have as much time to do. For some people, that could be like reading a book, riding a bike, drinking beer, sort of whatever those things are. And that can sort of reduce some of the pressure that you place on yourself, which can then help manage expectations, manage your motivations as you're sort of getting back into the swing of running. And just always, we have that end goal, which is always getting back to where we were, being healthy and racing, but breaking down the steps to that goal. Sort of having small concrete steps that you can sort of tick off every day. So then you start to build momentum up. You get into the kind of habit of feeling like you're achieving something. And then you sort of just keep on doing that every day and it just builds momentum. And then motivation kind of comes as you feel like you're getting on top of things.
What about the environment, Steve? Like, if you're like, I know with me when I was sort of working with this knee injury, and then I got some work, got some exercises, a bit of a gym routine, and then I went and joined a gym because it was like, if I was just to do this at home, I'd feel like, I was just ticking it off, whereas I had a new environment to go to, and it was felt like I was doing something different, and yeah, and just changing things up. Maybe for me, that seemed to work.
Yeah, that can
Yeah.
be a
Viable.
massive, yeah, like a massive positive influence. Not everyone is sort of super motivated by sort of the environment that they're in, but if you are feeling like things are a bit of a drag, a way to kind of get on top of that is, so what you're saying is going somewhere else to do it, whether that's the gym or the park,
Yeah.
not necessarily the same parks that you'd go running in. Just like somewhere totally novel, so then you develop new associations with what's going on around you and where you are, and that can be really good. I find it useful, sort of what you're saying, it's really good to actually get out and sort of go to the gym because then you have to carve out some time, so it sort of makes you put like some focused effort into what you're doing rather than just like I can do that whenever at home, because then it becomes really easy to just blow it off. Or at least it's easy for me to blow it off. And if my physio listens to this, I don't blow it off. I do my rehab every day.
Shout out to Jimmy.
Yeah.
Every day and sometimes twice a day. Isn't that
Yes, always.
right?
We can edit this section, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, we can. Hey, Steve. One thing, and I suppose I want to drill down more so into the timeline of this next question. So, dealing with disappointment in the immediate aftermath of it happening. Now, this could be when you've just after you've hurt yourself, or perhaps it's just as you finished a race that's just gone completely to shit. Or it's potentially setting yourself to, looks, I guess, goals are, typically associated with races, but perhaps it's even a training session that you set a goal and it just didn't happen. But in that sort of immediate aftermath, and that could be, look, whether it's that day or particularly if those emotions of disappointment tend to linger, what's the best way to, I guess, manage that and try and put it behind you? Because it's one thing to say, oh, it's okay, just forget about it, it's fine. We've all got those friends who mean well and say those things, but how do we best do that? How do we move on?
That's a super interesting question. Just around the level of investment we all have with our running and our goals. So it can be pretty upsetting when it doesn't work out. And it's similar to any other kind of setback that you might experience in life when something sort of outside of your control has a negative impact on your ability to do something that you want to do. And like an injury is normally sort of out of the blue, right? So you need to give yourself time. So you don't want to be making any fast decisions in like the immediate sort of time or anything. So you need some time to kind of get your head around what's happened, what you've experienced, what that might mean for you. So you sort of people sometimes equate it similar to like going through like a some form of mourning process. Like you need to sort of work through the emotions that you're feeling before making any kind of decisions, just so that you give yourself time to understand everything that's going on. A big part of that is kind of accepting the situation that you or the circumstances that you find yourself in. So sort of in an injury setting, like accepting what's gone wrong has gone wrong. You've got this injury. It's not your fault that you got the injury. So you need to like sort of process that. And then you can start to think about from there, you give yourself that time. Then you start to think about how you can move from that point and to like starting to plan for what comes next, how you get to where you want to be after that injury. So I think the first thing is just taking time, work through the emotions that you're feeling. Isn't super helpful advice. Like everyone wants to hear something like, you take this pill, you get fixed, or you feel good.
Where can I buy this pill?
Once I find it, I'll send you the link.
Okay, thank you. I
I'll have
think
it. It'll be my referral code as well.
yeah,
Oh,
code.
cool. 10% off code Dr.
Yeah.
Steve. I think what's probably really important though is that for people to actually grasp, it's okay to grieve, and it's okay to throw a bit. We all grieve differently, but it's okay to feel a bit emotional about it because it is something that you're invested in, that's important to you, that you sink a lot of time in, that you find a lot of joy in. So when that's potentially either put at risk because you have an injury or something that you've invested a lot of effort in, you don't necessarily get the reward that you were chasing, that absolutely there's going to be some disappointment, but that's actually okay to feel that way.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's more than just the you're injured, therefore you're sad. Normally there's a social component to your running, whether that's your club mates, your partner, your training partners, sort of friends and things. Like we spend quite a lot of time with the people that we meet through running. And when you get injured, you lose that sense of social connection. So there is you're injured and there are some things that you're kind of losing, so you do need to take the time sort of experience those emotions that you're sort of talking about, Chris.
Hey,
Everyone's
changing gears into a question around the relationship between confidence and performance in running, and I guess racing probably to a degree is how do you view that relationship?
It's an interesting relationship. It's pretty individual. At least I think it's quite individual. In terms of like, so what levels of confidence help you perform at your best? So some people probably like to. I'm not sure if they like to or they just do. Like some people are just naturally more outgoing, more confident than other people, and that can potentially help them. And with their running and their racing, sometimes other people might not be as confident. Generally, it might be not as sort of extroverted, but their confidence in their running and their coach and their training can be particularly strong, and that can also help. So I think there's a definite link there. Like you never really hear about people racing well and then saying like, I had no confidence. I was sort of worried about everything. But it's easy to be confident when things are going well, when you know you're in shape to run a PB or have a good race performance or do a good session. So it's like carrot and egg, which bit comes first? Like you need to carry a bit of that confidence, because each time you do a hard session, you're putting yourself out there. So you need to believe that you can do it and respond and get better, improve from there. And I think that might tie into the sort of people that are drawn to runners, eternal optimists. You always think the PB is going to happen at the next race, and you can sort of use that to build some confidence. And when you get injured, like your confidence takes a hit. And everyone's probably been there when you sort of think, like, is this the injury that kind of stops me? Or like, this is something that I'm not going to be able to get back from. And that's when the sort of breaking things up into those small bite-sized chunks, the small goals, can help, because then as you achieve a goal, you can start to develop like little building bricks, right? So you achieve goals, you start to build up a little bit of confidence, and then each next thing you achieve, a little bit more confident, and you sort of focus on that, and the confidence kind of follows.
Because runners can be pretty hard on themselves at times. The ones I've come across, I'd probably meet and cope and work with more athletes that are harder on themselves and don't seem to see the positives in their training blocks, in their sessions, than ones that are actually overconfident as to what they've achieved. And I think, it's an interesting one that we're often, as coaches, trying to guess. I know me personally is trying to look back at the block and look at the positives and trying to sort of drum that in. But it's one of those things. I don't know, with your encounters, Chriso, with some of your athletes, is drumming that confidence can be a bit of a challenge sometimes. To sort of say to athletes, hey, you're actually going really well here, and we're going to have a good race. Whereas we are very quick to identify that one session out of the 15 in the block that didn't go well.
No, it's tricky. Probably, look, I have no PhDs or qualifications. I couldn't even fish one out of the porridge packet that I've got in the cupboard. But one thing I found helpful with my athletes, particularly those who I guess are very self-analytical, or, and as you said, Zach, are quick to find the one negative out of the 15 positives that can play havoc a bit with the brain, is that actually sitting them down and going through their block and listing every single good session that they did that was specific to the race that they have coming up. So, and sort of, I guess you get to know people over a period of time and what they're looking for in their training. So being able to demonstrate their improvement could be, say, well, look, this time last year you'd run X mileage and now you're 10, 15, 20, whatever the number happens to be in front of that. These are the sessions that you've done where you've exceeded your goals, and sort of just trying to reinforce the good things. And then ask him about that day that didn't go so well. What do you actually think led to that? Do you think you're unlucky, or was there something that actually was amiss that day? And quite often just having a rational conversation about it can help uncover the reason why that day didn't go well. And also, I sort of say to them, this is actually a good thing to have happen now, because I promise you, when the race comes around, because it's fresh in your memory, it's not going to happen again, because you'll prepare better. So they're things that I do. But Steve, what I wanted to know from you, because you do have qualifications, several of them, legitimate ones, what do you do to help runners develop a positive, really positive, strong mindset with competition and manage the pressure that they put on themselves to perform? Am I on the right track, or what do you
No.
do?
No, I think you're both thinking about it in a really, really good and beneficial way. The only thing I'd add on, the when you're reflecting back on the work that you put in, is a huge tool that you can use. But also, you sort of both touched on when sessions don't go well. And even if a session doesn't go well, you still get something out of it. You learn something. Potentially that's the cause or the potential reasons or the hypotheses around why the session didn't go the way that you'd intended. But then also there's that's when you get to work on things like your self-confidence, your motivation, your resilience, because you're in a spot where things aren't going well. But if you can still get something out of that training session, do some of the quality work that you intended to do, you're then using some of practicing these mental skills that you'll need when you're racing when things are uncomfortable. Because it's not like racing's not always going to go perfectly how we hoped and dreamed and planned for. There's going to be moments of discomfort or when things outside your control are going wrong. And those are skills that you tend to develop when you're having to work hard or your sessions aren't going well. That's the time when you get to practice those skills. So even the session's going badly, you're still getting something positive out of it. It's just really easy to forget that. And then in terms of how I'd approach working with someone to sort of like the get the like the com competitive mindset thing happening, right, Chris? I thought that was sort of what you were.
Yeah, so it's just those that they there's a race coming up and they just put so much pressure on themselves, whether that be, I'm going to say with competition and managing the pressure to perform, that could be both the time, the battle with the time or a PB, but also potentially lining up against someone that they feel that they should beat as well.
There's sort of a few sort of things to think about to sort of or think steps to do. The first would be to sort of understand what kind of motivates you and what kind of mindset you need to be in to perform well. So forgetting about who you might be racing or anything like that, understanding are you someone that needs to be super revved up to race and to compete well? Or do you like to come into a race slightly more relaxed? Or is there a particular song or from your favorite artist or something something that kind of revs you up and that helps? Sort of thinking about what you can control in the lead up to the event to get your mind into the kind of state it needs to be in to let you perform well. And then with racing, it's so easy to get hung up on who you're competing against or a goal placing or a goal time. And all of those things are kind of outside of your control. We've got no control over who turns up to race, who doesn't turn up to race. We have a bit of control over running for a PB just by the training that we do, but we can't control the conditions that we're racing in or the once you've committed to the race, you can't control the course that you're racing on. So you sort of need to be able to let those things go. You can't really control them. So you need to be focused on the things that you can control. So that's like the pre-race routine. Maybe so many days out from the race, starting to fall into set behaviors and patterns and doing things in a uniform way so that you have that feeling of control and you sort of develop it through the week leading into the race. Which all sounds very easy to do, right? But when you're in the moment and there's this bloke standing next to you that you're busting to beat, it can be pretty hard to remember that. And so sort of in the moment, that's when working out what motivates the kind of nerdy psych speakers around your arousal level, which always gets a giggle out of people. Irrespective of what age the audience you're speaking with, but working out sort of where you need to sit in terms of your kind of arousal level, your excitement, how sort of up and about you are. And if you can sort of understand that, that can then put you on the start line with the mindset that can sort of set you up to perform well. And you just n need to almost have a mantra or something. Use keywords, draw on things you've learned from your coach. Talk to your coach in the lead up to the event because they can do a having a conversation with your coach can go a really long way to reassuring you that you've done the work, you're in shape to do what you want to do, and you just need to focus on your controllables. And when you have that panic moment, when there's that bloke next to you on the start line or somewhere in the race, you have to kind of forget about them, which is very hard to do. But, if someone surges or something and you're feeling like you can't or you don't want to go with that surge, let them go. And if you just focus on executing your race at the pace and the strategy that sets you up for the best possible result for yourself, you may end up beating that person. You can't control their strategy, so just focus on executing yours, which I
It's a
know I
bit around,
struggle with.
yeah. I know we've talked about this in the past around visualization and going through all these different scenarios. And I know, yeah, like you say, when the gun goes, things you can ha yeah, we can visualize a lot of different things, but this stuff happens on the fly. You have to make decisions. You have to make quick decisions. But it's a lot around learning. Post race as well, like learning how you dealt with it and then being able to go, okay, this is what actually unfolded. I learned that, yeah, maybe next time around I need to do A, B, or C to yeah, just and I guess that's experience as well. Like you get the more you race, the more you get yourself in these situations where, yeah, you're managing pressure and you're working out how you can perform and what arousal level you do need. So yeah, I think putting yourself out there is probably the thing that I would suggest, to get better positions in these races.
Definitely. If you think about it in a work setting, if you have something that's really important at work, whether it's like a huge deadline for a client or just like a large amount of work to get through, you don't just kind of wing it. You plan for it. If you're presenting something, you practice your presentation, you look for feedback from people, you do all these small things in the lead up to it so that when it comes time to execute, you can execute well and to the best of your ability. So sort of take that approach into your running. And you need to be really honest with yourself. If you're going to do this kind of post-race evaluation or debrief, you need to be able to think objectively about the decisions you made in your race or in your build up, so that you're kind of not tricking yourself, both for good decisions and bad decisions. Whether that's like you responded to a surge in a race, and the reason you responded was because it was the bloke that you really wanted to beat, rather than because you're feeling really good. Right, that's okay. Just be open about that, and then decide whether reacting in that manner in that moment was like the right decision, or you could have potentially chosen a different sort of response, and whether that would have had a better kind of long-term impact on the race performance, those sorts of things. Just sort of being pretty open and honest, and it's really good to talk through both to develop your plans for your races, and then also to do the kind of post-race evaluation with someone else involved. For most of us, that would be with our coach. Or you could be a training partner, it could be like your partner, sort of anyone really, just to have that more objective view on what you've done and trying to understand whether it was the most effective course of action in the moment. Because it can be really hard to kind of do that debrief yourself if you don't have someone to kind of hold you accountable. I don't know about you guys, but I'm always going to say if I respond to a surge, it was the best decision to do that. Even if I'm responding to a surge from a bloke that's like 2 minutes faster than me over 10K, I had him in the moment. That's not why he smoked me by 10 minutes.
Hindsight's 2020. Mate, it's been great to catch up. Been very insightful as always. I know I know the listeners who sent questions in will be really happy to hear your response. Actually, there was one question that we it was more of a statement that came through from Naomi, who we mentioned has been going through a rough time whilst you've been injured. She when we put up the post, a bit of an out, yeah, looking for questions. He came back and said, "I have many questions," and then followed it up with, "But I haven't been able to find the answers in the last 6 years, so I'm not sure you'll find them." So,
that
Naomi is a big fan of the show, and we appreciate it and always gives me some good intel on some of your antics.
And that's why she
But
doesn't have the answer to the questions. So,
Chris, so you got any goody-goody gumdrop questions for Steve?
well, not ice cream as such, but tis the season for hot cross buns. And mate, interested in your thoughts. What sort of flavor are we doing? Are they toasted? We're using butter. We're eating them raw straight out of the pack. How are we celebrating Easter with hot cross buns in the Langdon household over the coming weekend?
I love hot cross buns. Just putting it out there. I'm not a fan of butter though. So I go for just the straight hot cross bun, fresh or toasted.
With
Normally,
nothing on it.
no, not, nothing on it. I'll toast them if, I've had them for a couple of days and they might not quite be at their best. So that's when I'll toast them. Maybe I'll put some jam on them, but in my sort of ideal happy place, I can just wander down the road and get a hot cross bun each day type thing. And then they're fresh and delicious and still warm. And I will give a shout out to my favorite hot cross bun location, which is Bread Club in North Melbourne. Their hot cross buns are fantastic.
Big shout out. We've been giving plugs for our hot cross buns all night.
We have. What's your go-to, mate? Are we fruit? Are we chopped chip? Are we fruitless? Apple and cinnamon?
Just with the fruit. Just your bog standard hot cross bun. Maybe fruit, no fruit. I'm not sold on chocolate or anything weird. Just a normal hot cross bun. No need to mix it up. They're delicious how they are. What about both of you?
You
I'm
washing
feeling
it down with one of your fancy coffees because you've been known around the Melbourne uni circles as a coffee snob. Carry your own AeroPress to any race you go to. Big on the beans. Tell us about it all. What are you washing it down with?
So
Origin.
I get my hot cross bun from my hot cross bun shop. I don't get a coffee from the hot cross bun shop. I go to the coffee joint to get the coffee, or I make it at home. Recently just got myself a pour over set and a new grinder. So life is very good with hot cross buns and pour over coffee.
how the other half live, Chris, eh?
Mate, I can see why there's an altitude camp going on this weekend. He's going to the mountains to live the high life. Or,
We're just punching out the international roast over here.
mate, Nescafe at our workplace. So, yeah, she there's some sacrifices that have been made in life, but it won't be for the hot cross buns, mate. For the record, fresh, absolutely fresh. They'll be eaten straight out of the pack, but very partial to a toasted one and. I like a generous helping of butter on my fruit hot cross bun. I don't know how you're doing them dry, like jam. I'm a little bit concerned about. I have some. That's a whole different podcast full of
That's your
questions. But
Kiwi thing. It's your New
some
Zealand.
good homemade berry jam
Yep,
in
and
your
there's a
on your hot cross
place.
bun.
There's a place for that. It's not on a hot cross bun.
Is, how I view chocolate in a hot cross bun.
And look, that's fair. That is a fair statement. I'm not a huge fan of it. I love my chocolate, but not your chocolate croissant. Yes, but not in a hot cross bun.
I beg to differ, mate. The Cadbury, there's a Cadbury collab, I think, with a hot cross bun, which is
Yeah.
bad. It's a
Not bad.
good bun, but
So is that your go-to, Zach?
it's up there. Yeah, it's up there. I do like the traditional, but I quite enjoy a chocolate one. I'm moving towards that realm.
I think the chocolate would have to be generous in there. The ones that I've eaten from Coles and Baker's Delight, it's just kind of there. It doesn't really add anything to it. Yeah, it just left me disappointed. Not mad, just disappointed.
Favorite hot cross bun sauce store? Do you have a
Look, on my budget, Coles, but I do like to go to there's a bakery in Shepparton called North End Bakehouse, which has been awarded the award for the best hot cross bun in Australia, which
Oh.
is a big title, but they've also won the best vanilla slice too. So they're very popular, almost impossible to get at this time of year because they've already been pre-made, allocated, and they make a squillion off them, I suspect. But apparently that's the place to go. Also, Higgins Bakery in Shepparton, also very good. Sort of put the those chain stores to shame a little bit. They do.
Drop all these links in the show notes. You've got
Yeah.
discount codes, you've got magic pills you've lost as well, Chris. Steve. So we'll chuck all them in there, send out a few invoices for all these partnerships you guys have set
You can find them all on my website. No
up.
issues. Just go to the store.
Love
it, mate. Good fun as always and informative. But hopefully the injury you're on the upside of that, mate, and looking forward to getting you back on in the near future for more chat.
Yeah, thank you very much, Zachary and Chris. And look forward to seeing both of you at XCR.
No, not far away now, mate. Can't wait.
Catch you then, mate.